Now that the Steelers have Larry Ogunjobi and have addressed the defensive line, what's their next move? We want to talk about that with former NFL tight end himself, Doran Dickerson, here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things of the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find this show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button on this video if you enjoyed. Hit the subscribe button on this video if you want to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes. Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. Blue Nile is the place that makes your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. Locked On Sports listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. So go to BlueNile.com and use that podcast exclusive. That also includes engagement rings. Be sure to use their promo code Locked On at checkout. Joining today, as I said earlier, is Doran Dickerson. Doran is a good friend. He's at 93.7 The Fan. He's a pit man himself. He's been an NFL tight end. And any chance you get to talk to Doran, he gives a lot of great knowledge and wisdom from his NFL days. Doran, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's hot out today, but I'm glad to be here with you and talking some football. It's football season right around the corner.
It is. And this is, it's June. So like, this is the kind of lull that we get, but it's nice to enjoy the lull before it's just full speed ahead all the way. Now, the Steelers, though, they're not taking this time off. Yesterday, they went and got Larry Ogunjobi. 2 days ago, too, because this is the Thursday episode. I apologize. But Tuesday, they went and got Larry Ogunjobi addressing the defensive line, a group that once Stephon Tuitt retired, everyone said, oh, my God, what are they going to do? So that's out of the way. But presumably, they're still going to have a lot of salary cap space left. It was projected by most people. They say $22 or $23 million the Steelers had before signing Ogunjobi, thanks to Minkah Fitzpatrick's new deal opening up about $2 million in salary cap space. So now you have a situation where, let's say at most, Ogunjobi's one-year deal was $7 or $8 million. So now you got maybe $15-ish million, $16-ish million to play around with. We know the Steelers like to keep around maybe $4-ish million for emergency money throughout the season in case something terrible happens. But with Omar Khan, this being his first season, Doran, what is the next position you think he most needs to aggressively attack, either in free agency or trades, to shore up the Steelers roster?
It absolutely has to be backup running back. I know that they want Najee to be obviously the focal point of the offense. That's what he was drafted to do. But you don't want to run him into the ground. You know, he's going into a second year. He's still young. He put on weight, as we all know, from OTAs and camp. Everybody just expressed how big he was and how physically dominating he looked. So we know that he's building his body up to withstand some of the punishment that the NFL season puts on a player. So I don't think that's necessary. I think that Najee Harris needs to get his right touches in the right situations. He needs to be the focal point, but he doesn't need to get every touch. He doesn't need to get 300, 400 touches. I mean, he doesn't need that much capacity of touching the football. A nice change of pace, backup running back, a guy that you can trust that's a veteran, a guy that can go in there, like you said, change of pace type running back, a guy that can also go in there, motion out of the backfield, run on linebackers and safeties, and win his one-on-one matchups. I think that is a very viable focal point for the Steelers' offense, taking some of the onus off Najee Harris, not making him be the back the whole entire time. They need somebody that could go in there and create plays, even when Najee's in there. Now you can get real creative. You have a guy that knows what to do. I mean, D'Angelo Williams from years ago, he was a guy that was a veteran, went in, did his role, did his job, gave Le'Veon Bell a spill. But I'm saying you can get a guy, have that guy as a sidecar, Najee as a sidecar, have a two-back set with two running backs, and run different options and plays out of that. And that just makes your offense more dangerous. And then if Najee needs a spell, you keep that guy in there. So to me, it is absolutely backup running back to shore up your offense, to shore up your team, to shore up the running back room, and to, lessen the physical off of Najee Harris.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. I think he had 381 touches last season, most in the NFL. It's great that he can do that, but you don't want to keep doing that. And he even said, kind of reluctantly, like they've talked about giving me less touches this year. So I agree with you. That needs to be part of the plan. I guess the question is going to be, how do they execute this plan? Because Benny Snell is the presumed number two quarterback if you looked at the roster right now. Anthony McFarland is behind him. He's trying to be healthy for a season so that he can actually get a chance to play. But, you know, Kalen Ballage is still hanging around. There's no one that's like established right now as a real number two threat. Like you said, when D'Angelo Williams was on with Le'Veon Bell, those two were a 1-2 punch that gave you problems. As soon as Bell came off and Williams went in, you were like, wait a minute, we don't get a break. That's the kind of thing that I agree with you. They need to have here. And you look back at a lot of the better teams that the Steelers have had, whether it was those mid-2010s teams that were getting to the playoffs with D'Angelo Williams as the backup, or even the last time they won a Super Bowl when Willie Parker was the starter. Mueldy Moore was very important to that year with the spelling that he did. And as an NFL guy yourself, you know how important having those depth guys is.
It is. You have to. And, you know, the season's long, and now there's, you know, an extra game and everything. But the season's so long, and you do get beat up. And you don't want to miss and have a change of pace. You want to keep the pace that you build up. You want to create, you know, the momentum in the beginning of the season. And you want to keep that pace throughout the season. Yes, you're going to have some lulls. But for the most part, on offense, you want to keep your pace of how you do things. And the way to do that is to have somebody that can, you know, not reflect Najee Harris. So they don't have to be the same guy, but not miss a beat. Like, a great example of this, and this is actually a better example of kind of cloning, is Tyler Huntley and Lamar Jackson. Like, Tyler Huntley and Lamar Jackson, they knew that Tyler Huntley wouldn't be Lamar Jackson, but they could still not miss a beat in their offense if something happened to Lamar Jackson, which it did, and Tyler Huntley went in there and it didn't miss a beat. So it doesn't have to necessarily be just like Najee Harris, the running style, but it has to be a guy that you can't miss a beat, and a guy that could come in there and just make plays just as well as if he was a starter.
Right, and I agree with that sentiment, because when you have your backup, you're not just bringing him in just to kind of just be there. You're bringing him in to say, okay, when the defense sees him, they know they have to think about certain things. They have to think like, hey, you know, we have to be mindful that this guy, if he gets outside the tackle box, he's really tough to stop. Or if we lose him in a screen pass, oh gosh, that's going to be a nightmare. Those types of things can make things difficult. I want to get your thoughts, Doran, on who that might be. I'm going to give you some free agent names, and I want you to give me your thoughts on that. We're going to do that in just a minute here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. But first, I got to talk to you guys about rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is the place that you save time and money when you need car parts. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump can run you $353 from a chain store, but it's only $216 when you go to rockauto.com. Rock Auto is a family-owned business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto's prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you could need, from brake parts to tail lamps to motor oil and even new carpet for your car or truck. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution for your auto part needs, and go to rockauto.com right now, and you'll see all the parts available for your car or truck. Be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host Chris Carter, here with former NFL tight end himself, Doran Dickerson. You can also hear him all the time at 93.7 The Fan. Check him out. Also, Doran, I want to go over some of these options here because I do want to get your thoughts on the tight end situation, being a tight end yourself. But I want to give you some names here. These are just some of the guys that are free agents right now who could be out there. And I'm going to exclude some of the older guys. You know, everyone wants to talk about Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson because they're the 30-year-old dude that we used to pick up on our fantasy teams 5 or 6 years ago, right? The Steelers aren't going for the 30-year-olds. They're going for the guys who are like late 20s, you know, a little bit younger and still have something in the tank and won't cost you that much, and also, you know, aren't as beat up. So here are some guys who are around 27 years old. Here's 27-year-old Wayne Gallman, running back, most recently with the Niners. He's been with the Giants. He's bounced around a bit. You got Wayne Gallman. Here's another name, Justin Jackson, a guy from the Chargers who worked with Melvin Gordon. He's 26 years old this year, excuse me. These are two other guys that I see as options for the Steelers when it comes to the running back room. And again, when you think Steelers running backs, you need to, or when you think free agent signings, you need to get out. Like, that's why I told people, Ndamukong Suh was never going to happen. Not 35 years old, not a dude that's never been part of the organization. You want to bring in a guy who's late 20s, like Larry Ogunjobi. So between Wayne Gallman, Justin Jackson, or my last one here, Jordan Howard, who's 27 years old, he's played with the Eagles. Which of those three would you find more enticing as a backup for Najee Harris?
Well, I would go back and look at how much experience each one has. I mean, yeah, they've been in the league, but let's see how many touches they have. Let's see how many touchdowns they have. Let's see how many starts that they have. And obviously, you know, that data is out there and you probably have it in front of you. But from my knowledge of somebody that has played a lot of football and I've watched them a lot and knows that they could go in there and they can be that back, they can get first downs, they can be serviceable, they can be counted on by the offense, is Jordan Howard from the Eagles. I think that he would fit well as a Pittsburgh Steelers. His running style, his ability to get in there and have the presence of a starter, right? Whenever we go through these guys into Justin Jackson's, Wayne Gallman, we watch NFL a lot and I've seen those guys play, but I need a guy that has the presence of a starter, but is a backup, right? Mm-hmm. Like the presence of a starter, but is a backup. And another scenario too, another situation that reminds me of this is Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones. Like,
That's a great guy. Yeah, that's a great
guy. Either of them could be the starter, right? Either of them could be the starter of Tampa Bay, you know, whenever they both played together. So you need to find that guy that's like, you know what? We can't have a drop-off if this backup running back, and Jordan Howard is my guy, you know, after the three names that you just named, can this guy have the presence of a starter? Can this guy affect the defense of game plan? Say, you know what? Whenever Howard gets there in there and Najee comes out of the game, our defense is going to slightly change a little bit because he's a little bit different, but he can also get 100 yards on you. Like, he can also – absolutely. He can also come in the second half and grind it out for the rest of the game. That is Jordan Howard to me, 1,000%. I think he possesses all those traits to do that. And that would be a very smart move for the Steelers to go pick him up.
To bring that comparison home for you, when you were talking about the experience career-wise, Jordan Howard has over 1,000 carries for 4,300 plus yards, 37 rushing touchdowns. Wayne Gallman has 9 rushing touchdowns. Justin Jackson has 4 rushing touchdowns. All three of these guys have good NFL experience. They've been around. Howard since 2016, Gallman since 2017, Jackson since 2018. And you see what these guys have been able to produce, but you're absolutely right. Jordan Howard is the proven product here. And we all know how Mike Tomlin loves proven products. He loves guys coming in who he doesn't have to tell them how it's going to be. They know what it's going to be. And I think you're right about Jordan Howard. Like, this isn't going to be, you know, a Melvin Ingram situation where Melvin Ingram came to Pittsburgh. He said, oh yeah, I don't need to be the starter. But then when he wasn't the starter, it was a problem.
Right. So,
Jordan Howard, none of these guys would feel that they should be the starter over Najee, but Jordan Howard would have that starting experience, but also kind of know, hey, this isn't my show.
Right, right. And he knows that he will know that he will get some touches. Like, that will probably be in the negotiation or, you know, the first talks of him coming here and being a backup. He knows he's going to get some touches, but those touches are very, very valuable. It's like, you know, you're not going to get 30 touches a game. You're not going to get 25 touches a game, but you might get 5 or 6. And we need you to do X this amount on those 5 or 6. So that's a challenge of itself. Obviously, you're going to be compensated pretty decently, I feel, if you're a Jordan Howard. But you also know that it's like, all right, whenever I get the ball, it's like I'm going to get the ball, you know, 20 sometimes, but I'm actually getting it like 5. So I have to take advantage of every rep that I get whenever I get in there. And that makes it more valuable and that makes it more enticing to be and have that backup role to somebody, because you know that the touches that you get are going to be so big.
Now, you talked about earlier about having two running backs on the field, and who knows, Matt Canada might do that.
Sure.
But what I think could be the most interesting part of this offense is having two tight ends on the field, bringing out that 12 personnel package. That's something, as an NFL tight end yourself, I want to get your thoughts on what the Steelers have, what you've seen from both Pat Freiermuth and Zach Gentry so far. Everyone loved Freiermuth last year, and I thought Gentry took a solid step up to be a number two tight end. But the way Matt Canada talked about him, at the end of minicamp. Say he used the word starter when talking to him. Do you feel that these two guys, with all the other talent that's on this roster, with Najee Harris, Claypool, Johnson, Pickens, all those other guys, that the Steelers should be putting in more 12 personnel packages to get those tight end looks?
Yes, in certain situations. And you know what? Back in the day, I want to say like 15 years ago, it was always good to have two tight ends. And even if they were kind of the same tight ends, it was always good to have two, not necessarily be on the field at the same time. But the way the NFL is constructed now, if you have three competent tight ends that everybody does something different, you have the starter and Pat Freiermuth, you have Gentry, who's, you know, a blocker, a bigger body, is getting better in the passing game, can make those over the ball catches, be pretty decent in the red zone. And now you have added Connor Hayward, who's the H-back, which will fit into that role as well. If you can get all three of them somewhat on the field that gives different looks, I think that it just expands your offense into, you know, doing whatever you want. You know, you can line up in so many formations, and it's not the formation that the defense thinks. Like, Pat Freiermuth could be an X receiver on one play. He's still a tight end, but he's an X receiver. Gentry could be at Y, and Connor Hayward could be at H, a fullback, or F, a fullback. But they're also playing different positions while they're actually, you know what I'm saying? So that confuses the defense if you could run those packages with multiple tight ends. And that also sucks up the defense as well and gets the receivers outside open. So the more they can do, the better. Gentry's going to have an opportunity to be that second guy, the more complete tight end, a blocker and somewhat catcher. Pat is going to be, I think, a Pro Bowl tight end this year. And then you have Hayward, who can get in there and run on linebackers and be athletic and, you know, hopefully do some things in a blocking game. So I think it's a good situation that they're heading into training camp with those three tight ends. And it's just going to open up more success for the offense and the other skilled players. So I'm excited. You know, I love my tight ends, and I hope they use them all the right way and use them all effectively.
No, I agree with that. I agree with the sentiment here about the tight end position and how they're going to use it, especially when you use those multiple tight end packages. What really intrigues me about this, Doran, is the potential for bringing back play action into the Steelers offense. We haven't seen it for a very long time. It's just, it wasn't something that Ben Roethlisberger liked to do. Well, you know, whether people want to say it was the offensive coordinator, it was clear that when Ben Roethlisberger was in the game, they weren't calling play action. But now that you're going to have these younger quarterbacks who are a little bit more mobile, and you're going to have Najee Harris, who defenses are going to want to stop, I really look at those double tight end and sometimes even triple tight end packages as real opportunities to say, hey, force the defense to say, hey, you know what? They got their bigs out here. They're coming to run the ball. We got to be prepared for that. And you fake it to the gut, turn around, and then all of a sudden, Pat Freiermuth is running up the seam, and a safety or a linebacker is like, ah, man, we bit on the run play, and now you're getting the opportunity to use these athletic tight ends that you're talking about and truly exploit defenses that are trying to guess too hard to stop Najee Harris.
And you know what? I mean, I'm just going to say it in you know, all respect to Ben Roethlisberger, but he couldn't move, you know, towards the end of his career. Right. Now you have athletic quarterbacks that can be effective in the passing game with their feet, be able to run the play action the right way, sell the fake, running backs to sell the fake, offensive line to sell the fake, and then pass protect. You know, you have Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, who are very, very confident in the run game for quarterbacks. So the more athletic this offense has gotten this year, and we haven't really seen it yet, but we just kind of know that it's going to be more athletic. Mm-hmm. The more things you can do. And, you know, even whenever you said you slip Pat Freiermuth out on a seam route, or, you know, you kind of have them hold up in the play action and then have Gentry and Freiermuth do double crosses across the field, which everybody will get confused and somebody's going to break open. And then somebody's going deep, whether it's Pickens, you know, a very good situation for them to have this opportunity to run play action a lot more because of the athleticism of the guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Doran, I'm not done talking about Pat Freiermuth. I want to get, you said something there. You called him a Pro Bowler. I got a specific question about Pat Freiermuth in just a minute here to keep that going. And I want to get your thoughts on Kenny Pickett being a pit man yourself. But first, we got to talk to you guys about Built Bar. If y'all don't know about Built Bars, you're missing out, because these are some of the best tasting protein bars in the world. And if you haven't tried out their newest flavor, Mud Pie, you are missing it out. What is a Mud Pie? Well, if you're a chocolate fan, you better sit down for this, because the Mud Pie Built Bar or Built Puff is It has rich whipped cream, chocolate mousse, and it's smothered in 100% real chocolate, topped with cookies and cream crumble. And you've got to try it as possible. If you're a fan of Built Bars, that you're going to love the Mud Pie Built Bar. But if you're a fan of the Built Puffs, the Puffs are available. They're easy. They taste more like marshmallows, but you put it all together and the Mud Pie flavor is amazing, and they are going fast. And again, when you get a Built Bar or a Built Puff, they're healthy for you. They come with low calories, high protein, low sugar. For example, a Mud Pie, Built Bar, or Built Puff, when they're packaged, they give you 16 grams of protein, only 150 calories and only 8 grams of sugar. That's a great opportunity for you to eat something that tastes amazing, but keeps you on your diet. So go to built.com right now and order some Mud Pie Built Bars and Built Puffs. When you go to built.com, you can use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order when you visit built.com. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. He's Doran Dickerson. We're talking about the Steelers offense a lot right now, and I want to get your thoughts, Doran, on Pat Freiermuth. You said he was a Pro Bowl. Is he already a top five tight end in the NFL, or what does he need to show you this year to push himself into that tier?
I just think that I don't know if he's top five right now, but I think he will be by the end of the year. I think that the way that he came into the NFL last year, the way that he was just comfortable playing the tight end position, if you really watched him, that's a development thing of its own, slowing the game down whenever you're a young player. Coaches say this all the time, the biggest jump you will have in your career as an NFL player is from year one to year two. And usually guys take off after year one because they got their feet wet. They've caught a couple passes, or they got a couple tackles, or they've, had a couple reps on offensive line blocking. They've done some things that it's like, all right, I get the game. Now it's time to slow it down. I know what I have to do. I know the offense. Now it's time to make plays and get my body in the best shape I can possible. And I think Pat Freiermuth is primed to do that. He runs good routes. He's, shorthanded. Obviously, there was a fumble in the one game against Detroit. But other than that, he's, a shorthanded pass catcher. He's tall. He has all the traits to be a really good tight end. Now is the opportunity for having a Mitch Trubisky or Kenny Pickett to be able to extend plays with their legs. And that's when I think Pat Freiermuth will be even more dangerous because, like I said earlier, last year, Ben didn't have the opportunities to get out of the pocket because he just really couldn't move. Now we're going to see another element of offense. Whenever Mitch Trubisky, things break down, it's like, oh, I got to roll out. I got to run on the move. I got to turn my shoulders, get square, find somebody downfield. A linebacker or a safety is going to lose Pat Freiermuth. He's very savvy, and he will make a lot of his money catching passes on the move when plays break down. I think he's going to be very effective in that area, and that will make him one of the best tight ends in the league, in my opinion. And shout out to Gronk because he just retired. He is the best tight end ever to play the game. I played with Gronk, know Gronk very well. We came out the same year, combine, everything. Know him, been around him, a million times. He is the best tight end to ever play the game until Travis Kelce probably retires.
So in your mind, Gronk over Winslow, over Gonzalez, over all them dudes?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. That's not a shocker. It's just it's fun to hear players themselves and a tight end yourself talk about the position and what makes guys great.
Because people think that a tight end is incoherent if he doesn't have, 5 catches for 65 yards. I watched Gronk block a lot, and he very rarely missed a block. He always locked down whoever he was tasked to block. He was one of the best blocking tight ends too. And nobody ever gives him that much credit for that. They think of the touchdowns. They think of, Tom Brady finding him over the middle. You watch Gronk block. He's one of the best blocking tight ends too. He's the most complete tight end that ever played this game. And I think that is the biggest asset that puts him at number one is his blocking ability was a 99% on Madden. Like it was the best. It was the best. So as well as he was as a pass catcher, he was just as good as a blocker, and that made their offense in New England and in Tampa Bay so much better.
That's always interesting. Now, okay, I want to take it back here for a second to the Steelers. Now, Pat Freiermuth recently did talk about how He was talking to Kenny Pickett, and they were talking trash. And Pat's like, y'all never beat us because he's a Penn Stater. But, you know, Kenny was like, hey, man, what you doing? I'm coming off an ACC championship. So I want to get your thoughts, Doran, because LeSean McCoy, a former Pittman himself, went on the Pivot Podcast, or not on the Pivot Podcast, excuse me. He was on the podcast with Chase Claypool. I forget the name of that podcast.
I Am Athlete.
That's right. And he said he sees Kenny Pickett, Joe Burrow, same people. And he thinks that he's going to end up being in that stratosphere that everyone's talking about. Joe Burrow is the second coming. But a lot of people in Pittsburgh feel that Kenny Pickett has to start this year. He has to be the starter, winning it out of camp. I have been advocating since they drafted him. It don't matter when he starts, because it just matters getting him to be the franchise quarterback, whether he's it this year or next year. If you can get him to be a franchise quarterback and it takes you 2 or 3 years to get there, why are you complaining? That's my stance. But Doran, do you see Kenny as a guy that needs to start this year with the pedigree that he's built up over his time playing for Pitt and being a first round pick? Is there something that holds the Steelers back if he sits on the bench and learns behind Mitch Trubisky?
He absolutely doesn't need to start. That's why you paid a guy like Mitch Trubisky to come in here and to be a starter, just in case you do draft somebody. This is obviously before the draft when they signed Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky is very capable of being a starter. He's won. He's made a Pro Bowl in his career. He's going into his sixth year, so he's not, you know, super old or, you know, super young. He's right in the middle there. And if you have a guy like Mitch Trubisky that could go in there and win games, and if he does and he's ready, and why not just play him and let Kenny Pickett wait, grow, learn, figure things out, not on the move, but kind of at a gradual pace. There's absolutely no way that Kenny Pickett should start this year if he doesn't absolutely need to. Unless there's an injury or something of that nature, Kenny Pickett does not need to start this year. But you know what? The Steelers are in the best situation outside of like having Patrick Mahomes, outside of having Brady and the top tier quarterbacks. I think the Steelers are in the best quarterback situation, in my opinion, in the league, because they have their pick of the litter. Like, they really do. Like, you know, they have a future Hall of Famer retire.
Right.
And now they have three quarterbacks to pick from to be their starter. It's like, hey, it's like rolling out, you know, the ball. It's like, all right, the best man wins. Whoever comes up with the ball at the end of the game is the starter. You know, they can really have their actual evaluation process of two guys that they really, really like, that they really, really think that could be the starter. And it's like, whoever plays the best really is going to be the starter. And they hope it's Mitch Trubisky so they can sit Kenny and let him grow. But I think the Steelers are in a really good situation in that quarterback room. You know, they don't have to like worry about a certain guy. They have two of them that they know that they want to be the starter. Just one will be the starter and one will have to sit and wait a little bit.
Nah, I'm not going to let you get away with this. You started to say three, and then you said two guys. And I was like, So obviously, we're talking about Mason Rudolph there. But it's still, he's the guy. He's the only guy on your roster from last year that played quarterback. What's crazy enough, and I did this stat for an article I did for SteelersNow.com on Wednesday, he has the most starts under Mike Tomlin not named Ben Roethlisberger. I would have thought Charlie Batch, Byron Leftwich, of those guys. His 10 starts are the most that any other quarterback has had under Mike Tomlin, which is crazy to think about. But again, I think shows the importance of why they kept him in the first place in case something terrible happened with Mitch or Kenny wasn't ready and they needed to do that. But it seems like I say this in jest, as more of a joke, but also kind of real. I feel bad for Mason at times because this man signed his veteran deal. The guy's like, I'm coming back to the Steelers. And afterwards, they signed Mitch Trubisky. They draft a quarterback in the first round. And now they go and get Larry Ogunjobi, who blindsided Mason Rudolph during the Myles Garrett incident. Everyone remembers Myles Garrett hitting him over the head with the helmet. But Larry Ogunjobi, afterwards, when Mason had gotten back up and was like calling for help or calling for a flag, you see Larry Ogunjobi just come up, boom, just blast him. And Mason looks up at him and says a word we're not going to say in this podcast. And I remember, I'll never forget that. I'm like, man, Ogunjobi gets suspended, and now he's a Pittsburgh Steeler. And I'm like, man, if I'm Mason, I'm like, dang. So not only did you get two of my replacements, you got a dude who messed me up a few years ago. I think that's funny. Doran, do you think, one, Mason is okay with all this? And two, is he just gone by the time the season starts and they just say, hey, we're trading you out, don't worry about it? But you're just here for training camp in case something happens.
I don't think they care if Mason's okay with it or not. They're going to make the decisions that are necessary. And Ogunjobi's on the market, and they're going to be like, hey, we need you to play because you're going to play. Like, you're going to play here. Mason, you're probably not. So we're going to make our decision that we need to make. We don't care what you think. And two, on the same hand, I think that they're going to do their just due for Mason Rudolph. They're going to get him the film he needs in training camp. They're going to give him the film he needs, obviously, in preseason. And then he will be gone. Like, he will not be here to start the season. And, you know, I keep telling people this. I feel like that this has never really been talked about in the equation that much. And tell me if I'm wrong here. There's a reason why they drafted the kid in the seventh round. I forget his name.
Chris Olatokun.
Quarterback, right?
Yes.
There's a reason they drafted him. They don't just draft guys just to draft. Like, all right, well, it was cool to draft. I feel that there's a plan for that kid on the practice squad. Absolutely. He will be the third quarterback. And I feel that, you know, he can move. He's very mobile. He can do the things that Matt Canada probably really wants to do. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a plan for him to be the third guy. And if you do get down to him, if he ends up being the starter at some point, then the season's probably over. It'd be like a Duck Hodges situation. So I think Mason is gone. I think there's a plan for the kid in the seventh round. And Kenny will sit, and Mitch Trubisky will be the starter. And I think Mitch Trubisky is going to do very, very well this year. I really do.
I had this pushback against the initial thought that Mason was automatically going to get traded. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't. But this team just 3 years ago had to deal with Devlin Hodges in an emergency situation where Ben got hurt. They traded away Dobbs right before that happened. And then Mason went down. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, snap. Part of me feels like the Steelers might be like, hey, we might just keep all three of these dudes. But to your point, if you get to training camp, and we know this happens every year, a quarterback goes down somewhere, like in the Giants or the Jets or Jacksonville, and all of a sudden they're like, oh man, we need a quarterback. Steelers, can you help us out? And you could get a fourth or a fifth round
pick. Yes.
You pay that money real quick. And then you're in a situation where, hey, you knew it was Mitch, you knew it was Kenny, and like you said, you got Chris Olatokun if an emergency happens. And I think that that's something doable, especially if you're getting like an early day three pick. Like, you know, I don't think a seventh, like Brian Badko came on the show, he said a seventh rounder. I was like, oh, Brian, why you have to hurt Mitch Mason so much? But at least a fourth or a fifth, man, like make a team get desperate.
Desperate.
Then I think is the time to strike.
You know what? That is just smart business, right? I mean, I know people are complaining, like, why is Mason on the roster? Well, this is a business too. Like, we're not just playing football out there. They're not just playing football. Like, there's a whole side of professional sports that people forget about that is a business side. There's people who do the business deals and are, you know, the analytical thought process people that is like, hey, if we hold on to Mason, there's some value to him and we can get some value back. We invested X amount into him, $8 million something over, you know, since what, 2018. Mm-hmm. We get $8 million Mason has made. So that is a serious investment for the Steelers. Can we get at least half back? Can we get something back from our investment that we've made? That is just business. That's business 101. You're going to wait, and then somebody's going to be desperate, just like you said, Chris, and be like, hey, we'll give the fourth round, third round for Mason Rudolph. We need him right now. Boom, there you go. You're in the best situation you could possibly be in.
That would be crazy, but that would be – I think that's what the Steelers would go for. I don't think they just give them away. I think they they force somebody to give you some value, and it may involve a swapping of picks. Like, it might be like, hey, we'll give you Mason and a sixth for a third or a fourth, something along those lines. But I do think they find a way to recoup to get, you know, some value out of that situation if they're looking at in training camp. But – I think this is always going to be very interesting. We'll see how this plays out. Doran, thank you so much for joining us here in the Locked On Steelers podcast. Let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
At Scoring Doran, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook is just my name, Doran Dickerson, on 93.7 The Fan, WPXI. Like you said earlier, football season's right around the corner. I can't wait for it to get started. Can't wait to keep talking Steelers, pro football, college football. It's all great. Can't wait. Love it. Thanks, Chris. Thank you for having me on the Locked On podcast.
Absolutely. Do check out Dorn in all his locations. He does great job. You hear him on 93.7 The Fan. He scares the tar out of Adam Crowley all the time and Twitter trends that you guys have going all the time. So do follow him at Score and Dorn if you want to see him just scare the bejesus out of Adam just Crowley in the mornings. But I'm Chris Carter. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. Listen or watch this show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey. Also, Odyssey is an app that you can listen to 93.7 The Fan and this podcast on. So do check us out on both. If you were looking for a new podcast app, if you're not happy with Apple or Spotify, check out Odyssey, and that's AUDACY, Odyssey, spelled that way. And you can also, of course, check us out on YouTube, like our channel, subscribe to our channel, give us a chance, because we're going to give you 5 straight days, Monday through Friday, every single week of the year on your Pittsburgh Steelers. Tomorrow, we wrap up with Jenna Harner of Channel 11, WPXI, right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. We'll be back then.